In the face of the evil that Jesus faced, and the prophet Jeremiah, and even the psalmist experience, it can be very helpful, I think, for us to go back to the beginning, even back to creation itself. We find out there that all creation is good. There is no evil, and human life has an extra dose of that goodness. It is created very good. Very early on in the second creation account, we find out that the first thing that is not good is that Adam is alone. With the woman Eve, God's final act of bringing into being, God creates the best thing of all. Not just the woman, but an intimate relationship. That intimacy, that closeness, is a direct reflection and a manifestation of the intimacy that they share with God, whom Jeremiah calls the Lord of hosts, and whom Jesus calls the Father. Both of these names for God tell us about the nature of God. Our God is the one who brings things together. He is the one who reconciles people to one another and to himself. He integrates and he unites. So this is a context for today's scriptures. Evil happens when things break apart, when they disintegrate. Disintegration is not of God. Satan's temptation at the beginning is for Adam and Eve to separate their intimate relationship with God from their natural desires. God asks only one act of obedience. Don't eat from that tree. But the temptation there is to separate that obedience from their purely natural desire for what is good. In that moment, the fruit from the tree looks good, but to eat it is an act of separation from God. Well, what is the terrible thing that causes Jeremiah to cry out to the Lord? He spoke what he had heard from God in obedience, but his closest friends, with whom he was in relationship, betray him. The 14th century poet Dante gets it right in his portrayal of hell, I think. He reserves the lowest level of hell, the deepest level of hell, for those who have betrayed someone close to them. This is the breaking apart of what was meant to be united, that betrayal by friends. Now even Jeremiah's closest friends want to trap him in his words, to shame him, to make him look bad, and even to kill him. In this way, Jeremiah shows us by his experience what will happen to Christ himself, who will be betrayed by one of his closest friends. Jeremiah is a sign of the opposition to the one who will come. Jeremiah knows, though, that the only solution to the disintegration perpetrated by his friends at the hearing the word of God is to declare that he will not be dismayed, but will trust in the Lord. He will unite himself to the Lord. He points forward in this way to the one who will have perfect unity and perfect intimacy with the one he calls in another place, the one he calls Abba, Father, and in this reading today. Jesus declares to the people that the works he does are from the Father. 5 times in this short gospel passage, Jesus refers to the Father. 5 times. But those who condemn Jesus separate the works that Jesus performs from God. They say, yeah, we agree with that those works are good. We don't condemn you for them, but for calling yourself God. Separation, disintegration, breaking apart. Clearly, the things that Jesus does can only be done by the power of God. They know this. In the same way that Adam and Eve know that their obedience is the sign of their relationship with God. They know, and yet they separate the works that are from God from the one who does them. This is why, brothers and sisters, that evil makes no sense. It's based on a strange logic. We know that you do the works that only God can do, yet we condemn you for claiming to be the God who does those works. Makes no sense. But that is the logic of the world today. Even when the world seems open to Jesus, it wants the nice Jesus, his good works, without the cross. That's too hard. Let's take the good works and kill the one who does them. The world separates the unborn fetus from the child, the father from his families, the procreative act from the marriage relationship. What does Jesus do in the face of opposition and betrayal? He goes to the Jordan River where John was baptizing and where people had entered the land of God's promise. Jesus goes there as the new covenant sign that he is the way to the promised salvation of all who will come to believe in him. And as it tells us, many people came to believe in him because they see in him the Father, the God of all. So now it is our turn. What we do in the face of opposition and even betrayal, well, we have the opportunity to cry out to God as Jeremiah does. We are invited today to unite ourselves to the intimate relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Today, Friday, with just 1 week left to Good Friday, the gospel tells us that even in the ways that the world seeks to separate us from God, Jesus uses their punishment, the cross, to do what? What does he say on another place? When I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. So this is our good news as we approach the cross on Good Friday. Satan's plan to separate Christ from our salvation, Jesus uses it instead to unite us, to bring him to himself, to bring us to himself, to reintegrate us into his loving embrace. That's why we pray, crying out to God like Jeremiah. That is why we fast from division and disintegration. And that is why we give to the poor, to unite us to those whom God loves the most. And so, using this word that Jeremiah does, he was enticed by God. In another place it says he was seduced by God. So let us today allow ourselves to be enticed by God, to integrate ourselves into his love and care for us and for all of humanity.